Blog Talk Radio.
And how is everybody doing this evening? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show, and I am ready for tonight's show, you guys, and excited to introduce our guest. This is somebody that I've had the pleasure of watching from a young age when he was in college, and now he has blossomed into an amazing NFL cornerback. He's a family guy, and it's his off season right now, but he has decided to come into the locker room, you guys, and share some advice with us. He's going to share his story, and this is exactly what I want you guys to hear, because so many times we don't get the truth. So many times we don't get to see what it really takes. And tonight we have a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Smith, starting cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens, who is willing to let you guys know what it takes. So I think we already have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, can you hear us tonight?
Absolutely, I'm here.
Perfect, perfect. Well, hey, we really appreciate your time. I know that this is a chance for you to get some family time, get with some friends in the off season, and we never discount you guys who come into the locker room helping us out. So thank you for your time tonight.
Again, my pleasure to be able to get the chance to speak out and you know, tell the viewers, you know, my experiences and everything I went through to get to this point in my life.
Perfect. So, hey, let's get right into it. I know that are you in Virginia right now, or are you in D.C.?
I live in Baltimore, Baltimore City.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. So I know this is East Coast time for you, and let's get right into it. For those that don't know you, Jimmy, can you tell everybody where you're originally from?
Originally from Southern California, San Bernardino, California. I went to Colton High School out there, but I lived everywhere. I lived in New York. I lived in the state of Washington. I lived in Arizona. My sister's from New York. She's my Irish twin, so I pretty much lived everywhere, but predominantly I lived in Southern California.
Gotcha, gotcha. And then obviously you signed on to play for our Buffs out there in Boulder. What other schools were you looking at, and what made you choose Colorado?
I had coming out of high school, I was I played wide receiver, and you know, being 6'2" and you know, tall and thin and fast, everybody wanted to put me at wide receivers. But my brother was kind of the guy in the corner, always telling me to play cornerback. That, you know, at 6'2", if you can move your feet and play corner, you'll make a lot of money. And I always trusted what he said, so. I got a lot of school offer. Pretty much everybody in the Western Athletic Conference offered me a wide receiver. Then I ended up committing originally to Washington State just because I was tired of the recruiting process. And then Boise State was really one of my favorite schools, but I just didn't think they were big enough at the time to win a national championship, being that they're in a small division or conference. So Coach Hawkins ended up going to Colorado. And I was already committed to Washington State. He came, talked to me. I took my last trip out there and ended up committing there.
Wow. And when you first got to CU, were you a wide receiver, or had they already talked to you about playing DB?
Well, they put me at safety, and I didn't really want to play safety. But Greg Brown was my coach at the time, and he, the first week we got down in there, they put me in one-on-ones, and it was pretty much a wrap after they see me do one-on-ones. They just, Coach Brown was like, we're going to stick him at corner, keep him at corner.
Nice. And then so your brother was probably smiling all along once he heard that. But moving on to, you know, you deciding to go to Colorado and the transition, you know, San Bernardino, Inland Empire is a lot different than Boulder, Colorado. Was that a different transition for you? Was that difficult or was that pretty easy?
It was not easy. It wasn't that it was necessarily hard. It was just very different. San Bernardino is very is predominantly Black and Hispanic. And, you know, we have Caucasian or white people there, but it wasn't like a lot of them. So, you know, our quarterback, you know, we were good with them, but mostly it was just Black and Mexican. So when I got to Colorado, it was like I've never seen that much, that many white people in my life. It was just a whole lot. The whole culture was different. I had to get more accustomed to the way things were done out there. And, you know, it wasn't that, like I said, it wasn't that I was some type of gangbanger or anything like that. It was just an adjustment in how you acted, how you hung around people. But the first, you know, I got used to it, obviously, very quickly, being on the football team and being able to hang out with people. But it was definitely a little bit of a culture shock.
We have an audience, Jimmy, of young football players that are obviously aspiring to get to the level that you're at. And, you know, their parents and coaches listening as well. What advice would you give to a young man that might be trying to decide which college to choose and is stuck between a couple schools? What advice would you give to somebody?
I would just tell them who they feel comfortable with the coaches. Big thing with me was if the coaching staff was going to be there. Sometimes kids get to a school and that coaching staff might have recruited you there, but then get fired the next year, and then you're with a whole new that may not know you or may not, you know, be there, be in your corner the way that the coaching staff before was there to recruit you. So I would think that played a big thing for me. But for other people, that it's really just based on how comfortable you feel. Like when I went out there, I was just extremely comfortable with the coaches. I was extremely comfortable with the players, the guys that took me out. And I just felt like it was the right fit.
When was the first time, Jimmy, that you really realized that football was a business?
Oof. I guess probably like my junior, senior year, I started getting a little buzz for the NFL, and I started getting calls and runners for agents and all that, and that's when I really started realizing that this is a whole lot of money in this. And before I was just playing football, but once my junior year came around, I was getting calls from agents and, you know, they're talking about money and offering all these things. And so that's when I kind of realized, like, oh, you know, this is bigger than what I thought.
Definitely. And obviously you had an amazing career up at CU. I see that we already have some callers, some people who want to talk to you. So you guys, please hold on the line, but we want to get a little deeper into Jimmy's story. Obviously, a great career at CU. Talk to us a little bit from the academic side of things. Did that come easy to you at the college level, or did you need some extra support with that?
I definitely took advantage of the tutors they supplied with us. But no, it was more of an adjustment of managing my time to really do it. When I first got there, I redshirted, so, and I was on my own, and I kind of didn't really take school as serious as I needed to. I had like a 1-point-something GPA and quickly realized how quickly I could be out of school. So once I buckled down and really took those tutors, and they were some classes I really, really had to really work extra hard in stats and stuff like that. But for the most part, it was Coach Hagan helped me find a major that I was interested in. And you know, it's just really being responsible and getting into the books and reading. And, you know, they supply you with so many tutors and so, you know, so much help that, you know, it's really, you really have to go out of your way to fail.
Definitely. And shout out to Coach Darian Hagan as a Buff legend that Jimmy just shouted out right there. We all love D. Hagan. So talk to us a little bit about distractions, because, you know, for a lot of young men, this is the first time maybe out of state, definitely on their own. They've got their own dorm or apartment. People know who you are on campus. Did you find it hard to stray away from distractions? I know it was difficult for me up at CU, but was that something that was easy for you, or do you think that it's a little difficult for guys?
It's very difficult. Like I said, the first semester I was there, I was on my own. You know, I had my own room, and you know, you could go out and party whenever you wanted, and you could drink whenever you wanted. You could pretty much do whatever you wanted, you know, within law. But you can get easily distracted, and you can lose focus on grades. You could skip class, and nobody's really there to tell you, like, hey, get back in class. And, you know, and it's really on you to follow up and do all that stuff. And the distractions out there are plenty. Like I said, drinking, and you know how Boulder is. Boulder's kind of a smoking town, and people can get into that. And there's just so much to do that you can lose sight of the reason you're really there in the first place.
Well said right there, Jimmy. And, you know, if you're a young man, you know, all you guys listening, and you tend to kind of go with the flock, you know, you might not want to go to a school where it's just all day, all party, you know, and a lot of distractions. You may want to stick closer to home, so you have to evaluate that. Jimmy, as far as you getting ready for the next level, do you feel like, I know you mentioned Coach Hagan, but was there anybody else that kind of pulled you aside and said, hey, man, you might have a chance to make a little money. You need to start really dialing in.
Yeah, my junior year, my senior year, kind of the years, I wasn't really aware of if I was going to go to the NFL. I mean, I used to say it a lot, but I didn't really, I was just playing football. And I think my junior year, my coach ended up, Coach Brown ended up getting fired. And then I got Coach Ashley Ambrose. And, yeah, he just really kind of sat me there and told me, like, even though Coach Brown did tell me at a very young age, you have the size, you have the talent, you have the speed. But that was so young and so far away at the time that, you know, it was kind of in the back of my head. But as I got older and really had an opportunity to leave my junior year, I kind of had to sit and evaluate. You know, I needed another year to basically sit and get a little bit more mature and show that the NFL that, you know, I was ready for that next jump. And I thought that, you know, maybe I needed another year to prove that. And I had Coach Hagan, like I said, Coach Ash, you know, all my coaches really sat down and really was like, yo, you know, you have an opportunity to be one of the first DBs taken. And that kind of really changed my whole mindset going into my senior year, like tightened down on everything, grades, and tried to be, you know, the best person obviously I could be. But mentally it was like I was really just focused on really making it at that point.
Great illustration right there. And as far as outside of Dow Ward, outside of the athletic facility, as you kind of look back, because you're older now, you're a grown man, as you kind of look back on your college experience, do you feel like you networked enough outside of Dow Ward and met enough people outside of the athletic facility?
Yeah, I mean, I met a ton of people. I've lost a lot of relationships, not due to anything serious, just time. But I met a lot of people, but I haven't really been connected to CU once I left as I wanted to. I come back for the games and I sit in the stands, but I haven't really connected with the alum like you, such yourself and, you know, other people like I should have. So, I mean, that's something I could – it's not too late, but I definitely wish I got more and, you know, tighter with the alum that were there when I was there.
Well, there always is an opportunity, man, and would love to help connect you, and we'll get that done because I know there's a lot of people that can help you out. But moving forward, draft day, obviously for every young man, that's the day they dream of. I know for women it's wedding day, but for us guys, you know, it's draft day. And where were you on draft day?
I went to my oldest brother's father's house, Pops. They had like a little – my agent is Drew Rosenhaus, and he was actually having like an ESPN E60, like cameras following him around. So he came. I had a couple Eagles players there, Brandon Graham being one of them, because I truly thought that I was going to end up going to the Eagles. But it was definitely one of those stressful days. I had a lot of stuff come out about me. you know, in college about some red flags of some mistakes I had made earlier in my career at school. And it was a long day. You sit there on the couch for 3 hours, and my hopes and all my dreams were really just trying to go first round. That was my goal. And as, you know, the picks ticked away and it kept getting closer to the end, the Eagles finally came up, and I'll never forget, I was sitting on the couch and looking at Brandon like, yo, I'm about to get picked up by the Eagles like we thought. And they picked up a guard from Baylor, Danny Watkins. And I just was, like, crushed. And I was hoping, like, maybe, you know, maybe Baltimore will get me. And then Baltimore's turn came up, and something happened. Like, they didn't make a pick. So I was just sitting there like, oh, my goodness. Like, my goal was, you know, first round. Obviously, getting drafted in general was just a great thing. But first round was really my heart was set on it at that point. And once that yeah. passed, I was kind of shot, just kind of hurt. And then somehow they messed up the picks or whatever. And then I ended up getting picked the next pick, and just literally my heart just sank. And, you know, I mean, I have a video of it to this day. And it's just, you know, probably one of the best moments of my life.
Wow. That's an amazing feeling, I'm sure. Unfortunately, I was too much of a knucklehead to experience that and ended up going the Arena in Canada route. But I'm sure, man, it was an amazing experience for your whole family. Now, you also had a chance to win a Super Bowl. And was that everything you thought it would be when you were a little boy?
You know what's crazy? Now that I'm about to be 31 and struggled to get back to the playoffs till last year, and I guess I didn't really appreciate it as much as I would have if it was me now. But at the time, I mean, obviously it was a great feeling being in it, to be actually in the plays to decide the game at the end of the game was the most elated I've ever felt, just running with my arms open like, we just won a Super Bowl. I mean, I can never relive that feeling again. But, yeah, I mean, during the week, the festivities, you know, at the time Ray Lewis and Ed Reed were on the team, you know, we had all the vets, so I know that they kind of cherished that a little more than I was just kind of, you know, walk around with the family and just kind of appreciated it. But, you know, to win that at this age, I think would just mean a whole lot more.
Definitely. You kind of respect those things as you go. And 9 years being in the NFL is what you're walking into this season. What's the difference, Jimmy, between the guy who lasts 2 years in the NFL and the guy who lasts 9 years like yourself?
I would like to say it's just talent sometimes, but it really is just the work that you put in. What you put in is exactly what you're going to get out. I mean, if you're out partying and drinking and doing this, and you should understand why you're out of the league in 2 years, you know. But if you come in and you're working and you're studying your film and realize that every day somebody's trying to take your job, you know, it's cliche to say, but that's facts. Everybody's coming to get your job. Then you realize the work that goes into it. And I was fortunate enough to be able to watch Ed Reed and Helodina, Terrell Suggs. I got to see these guys do it firsthand. And my first couple of years, it wasn't easy. It wasn't that I wasn't trying, but I wasn't putting in the work that needed to be put in to be able to sustain a good career. And then my third year came around, and I studied more than I ever studied in my life. I tried to really understand playing the cornerback position, which, you know, in college I was a basketball guy, so I could play one-on-one, man-to-man all day. Quarterbacks wouldn't throw, but in the NFL, it's like, we don't care. Like, we're going to come at you. And, you know, I had to really understand the game and understand how to play and understand I couldn't cover every single route. You know, there's a lot of nuances about the cornerback position that I didn't know, but I was just relying so much heavily on my athletic ability. And everybody's an athlete. Everybody's good on that level. So it was really when I got in the book, I had to sometimes, you know, I had to figure out what they're trying to do to me, what they want to attack me on, and understand the plays, understand the defense better, understand where my help was. And those are the kind of things that I had to really focus in on when my third year came around, because you get 3 years, really, as a first rounder, any round you go in. You get the 3 years, you get the 3 year, and you ain't biting yet, you may go be on the team the next year. It happens all the time.
Yes, indeed. We see it all the time. It's the not-for-long league, as you know. And you mentioned some Hall of Famers there that you had the chance to play with. Ray Lewis, I know Terrell Suggs probably eventually will be in the Hall of Fame. But I wanna talk about Ed Reed, because I've got a friend who just retired from the NFL, and he's an offensive lineman. And one day I asked him, I said, man, who's the best defensive player that you played against? And he said, man, it was Ed Reed. He said, dude, we would be running plays and he would already be there before we could pull the guard or before we could get there. You were literally in the DB room with this Hall of Famer. What do you recall, or what stands out about his preparation or his game to you when you think back on Ed Reed?
He was the one that actually told me how to watch film, like taught me how. But he's a whole different level of player. You know what I mean? Like what he could do, a lot of people just can't do, his instincts. But he also put the work in. Like, he doesn't have an off season. I remember we had some good talks. Ed's my guy, so we've had some really good talks. And he'd tell you, like, you see it twice, write it down. You see it twice on that, they run that twice, write it down. They're going to run it, you know, and that's how he watched film. But as far as just knowing the game, just, it was unbelievable. Like, he knew the defense inside and out, but he knew what offenses wanted to do better than anybody. And it was kind of crazy to watch. It was almost brilliant to watch. But I also came at the end of his, towards the end of his career. I played only two seasons with him, but I mean, just watching him, you know, in the meeting rooms, he already had his, before we got to the meeting and we had to say we facing the Browns, he already had every note, every play they're going to run, first, second, third down, red zone, this situation, all of that stuff was written, highlighted in his notebook, already ready to go before we even got to the first meeting to discuss the team. So
wow.
He was so well prepared. It made you realize, like, whoa, I'm just over here watching a few routes, and this guy's already broken down. This team is probably ready for the next team. And that's kind of like, that was why he was really so good.
Wow, that's amazing. You guys who have just joined us, we are in the BYGP locker room, and we have a very special guest tonight, none other than Mr. Jimmy Smith, starting cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens. We have roughly about 10 more minutes with Jimmy. And, Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. This is great. As far as our business, Jimmy, and I know you're just getting an introduction in the before you go pro, but we work with high school and junior college football players, and we really want to teach them the business of football and how to make smart moves off the field. I believe that there's too much of an emphasis on you guys' physical prowess, and not enough on teaching you guys business and just how to thrive. So with our business, that's why we want to expose them to people like yourself, where they can get it straight. I think you guys get targeted in many instances. So can you talk to the young men listening about maybe just a couple tips or a couple things you think about that they can utilize as far as making the right moves off the field?
Financially or just in general, just things that come.
More so socially, you know, whether it's on their social networking or whether it's at a club with their teammates, you know, more so socially.
Absolutely. I mean, the number one thing, like you said, like the number one thing I was naive to was being a target, because you come from a place and you may not have money and that might not be your whole focus, and you may still try to live the same life you live or be out drinking with your friends and not realize somebody's recording you in the corner. You know, it might say the wrong thing, and nowadays it's even worse, or not worse, I wouldn't say that, but now things, media is pumped to us on our phones, Snapchat, all these things, and at the click of a button, everybody can watch you now. And the crazy thing is, like, I've been in situations, plenty of situations, and had to learn over time. Even, like, I don't have a social media and Twitter, all that, because, honestly, I don't like people being able to reach out to me and say something to me, and then I'm not be able to say anything back. I'm a competitor. I want to say something back. So I had to get off of that stuff because, you know, people
smart.
Can they can get to you. Yeah, you got to be smart about it, and it's not easy. But in this world we live in, it's, you know, now especially the social media is the number one thing. But I mean, with that also is you have to be very, very careful of who you allow into your life, especially once you get money, because you are the target. You may think that this person is on your side, got your best interests at heart, but as soon as you don't want to, you know, deal with them or anything, they will turn on you so quickly. And it happens. And I thought, you know, I was just naive. I never thought that type of stuff would happen to me. And I was quickly fooled and realized, like, whoa, you know, it can really ruin your life. Like, one mistake nowadays can ruin your entire career. I have obviously, I would never condone, you know, what happened with my ex-teammate, Ray Rice. Knowing him as a person, he's a great person. You know, that one mistake he made ruined his entire career. You know, and lots of things afterwards. He's building back to get back to where he was, but that one thing caught on the camera ruined his entire career. And it's like, in that one instance when you're drinking out with your friends, you're having fun, and somebody says something to you, challenges you, and you being a big football player, you want to butt back and do whatever, and it's quickly gone, you know, in a moment. And it's like, you don't really understand how fast everything you've worked for your whole entire life can be taken away from you in a second. And I think, you know, sometimes the young players, they get out here, they get on social media, they say stuff, or, you know, they're smoking weed on their social media, doing just drinking, recording themselves. Just all that stuff comes back. It just never erases. And, you know, everybody's done it, but the more, I guess, as we get further down in the future, like, the more technology comes out, the more you're watched. So, I mean, the number one thing I would tell all football players, all athletes, coaches, all everybody, really, just be careful of what you're doing. Be mindful of where you're at. Be mindful of who you're with and who you let in your life.
Well said right there, Jimmy, and appreciate the honesty. And that's why you guys come in the locker room, is to hear the truth. So we really appreciate Jimmy sharing the truth with us. A couple more questions, Jimmy, and we'll let you go. And once again, appreciate your time. You've been through a couple injuries and you know, some major injuries that you've had to deal with,
yeah,
which is a part of the game, which is a part of the sport we love. What type of mentality for a young man that's listening that just got injured, what type of mentality should that young man take on so that he has a successful comeback?
You gotta really trust in your body. Like you said, excuse me, I had an Achilles injury. Just my most recent injury, I tore my Achilles in the end of 2017 on probably one of my best seasons. And coming back from it, I was physically there for the most part, but my mind wasn't there. I wasn't confident. You know, and when you're playing and not confident, it's you feel naked. It's the worst. You might as well not even be on the field. But to have the mindset, like, it took a few games, but one game I just say, you know, forget this, like, just go out there and be who you've always been. And it was kind of something that clicked in my mind. I just wish it clicked earlier, but I lost a lot of confidence going through the injuries, and I had never been injured in college before. And then as soon as I got to the league, I mean, it seemed like every year I was injured, missing games. And it does affect your confidence, but you put the work in doing the rehab, and You do all this to get back, and once you get back, you just really got to be confident that, you know, you're still the same guy. You can go out there and play the same game that you've always played. It's just all really relies on that confidence.
I love it. Give us your top three wide receivers that you've covered as far as guys you respect.
Does the retired receivers count?
Yeah, if you lined up on them, throw them out there, even if it was college.
I really respect Antonio Brown's game. He's a really good football player. Just lightning quick, catch a ball in front of you and just disappear. Megatron was my first time going to Megatron was not easy at all. He literally jumped over me like a basketball player, like on the alley oop. It was embarrassing. Show me how quickly, how because I always think of myself as a physical guy, and I like to, you know, rely on that. But he showed me how quickly, like, other people are a little bit more athletically gifted than you.
Definitely.
But, I mean, I would say A.J. Green and Julio in the same. They're just really tough competitors. A.J. Green, he catches everything. Julio's just a big, fast dude that can stop on a dime cut. They're just excellent athletic, just freaks.
Wow. And obviously, you being a number one cornerback, you've had to line up on all of these guys that you just mentioned firsthand. So for the last question, and once again, thank you so much for your time, Jimmy, but for the last question, it's going to be kind of a two-part question. As I just mentioned, you've been the number one cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens and obviously paid that way. And, you know, on every defense, there's two cornerbacks, maybe more if you're a nickel and dime, but there's only one number one. Can you talk to our audience about the mentality behind playing and becoming a high-level professional athlete like yourself? And is there anything going back to when you're younger that you would have done differently preparing for the opportunity?
I'll talk about the number one, playing as a cornerback number one. To really get there, it's a mentality. It really is a mentality. If you look at any of the top cornerbacks in the league, and they're the most confident. They get beat. Everybody gets beat, but you got to be extremely confident. But you also got to put the work in, like I said earlier. It's knowing the game. You don't get there just by being a physical guy or being an athlete or athletic guy. It's really putting the work in. And it took me a few years to get to that spot and to be that, but once I got there, it was the confidence. When you go out and make plays, it's the only way you can build confidence. There's no other way. If you fail at it, you're not going to build that confidence. You go out there, you make plays, you're going to build confidence, and then you ride on that confidence, and not in a cocky way or over cocky or, you know, anything like that. It's more just you're confident you can beat this guy. He might get a play, but that's the only play he's going to get. And as a cornerback, you're on that island by yourself. We run a lot of cover zeros, too, so you really got to be a very confident guy out there on that island knowing that you put in more work than he put in and that you're going to beat him on those plays. And that's really the mindset of any cornerback, number one. The second question, I kind of forget the second one.
The second question was just looking back. Now you're a nine-year vet. You know, you're going into your ninth season. Like you said, I'm a 30-year-old man. I'm grown with a family. Think back. I want you to think back and come back with me to Jimmy Smith leaving San Bernardino and heading to Boulder, Colorado. What would you tell Jimmy Smith that just came from San Bernardino?
I would have to. That guy was a little wild. So, I mean, early in my days, I like to have fun. I like to be the life of a party. You know, I like to go out a lot. And I don't think that necessarily it affected my body or anything like that as much. But I would have definitely took football a lot more serious in the beginning. Like, I didn't until the very end, and I got farther because I was an athlete. But I think I could have went even higher, been an even better prospect coming out if in the very beginning I was like, I'm going to take care of my body. I want to, you know, focus on these grades. So when these scouts do come in, they don't have questions about my maturity. I could have left my junior year, but I had to stay another year because I had to even prove to myself that I was mature enough to get to that next level and not only get there, succeed on that next level. So, I mean, I would have definitely, you know, tried to be a little bit more calm, I guess, and really focus in on football and my school more than going out having fun partying. But at the same time, it's like I had so much fun up there. It was just a good time, and it kind of the lessons that I learned throughout, even looking back now, the lessons that I learned in college actually helped me become more smarter now. You know, I wouldn't have. So if I had that knowledge then, it would have been even better, obviously, but I didn't. And I had to kind of learn some of those things on my own. But having that knowledge earlier probably would have, you know, helped me out getting drafted even higher.
Wow, man. Well, hey, you killed it tonight, and you were honest and candid, and I just really appreciate watching you grow, and just keep kicking ass, dude. Keep doing your thing.
I appreciate it. I really do.
All right, man. So we'll be rooting for you and watching out. And yeah, let's stay in contact, and we'll get that networking going and get you connected.
Man, I heard the Buff got like a golf thing and a Buff for Life and, you know, these things. You know,
yeah.
Pat Williams is a Buff up there. He's actually
yep.
a scout now for the Ravens. So, you know, we're
okay.
pretty tight still. And, yeah, so we get to and, you know, we talk about getting back out there and doing some things. And, you know, like when we try to do a camp out there, I just got to get back out there and, you know, be a part of the Buff alum again.
Yeah, and we'd love to have Pat on the show too, you know, and talk to the kids. So yeah, let's definitely stay in contact, man. Proud of you.
Most definitely.
All right, you guys. So that is Jimmy Smith. We thank him so much for his time. As he said, you know, you got to put in the work. You got to do the work, you guys. There's no way around it. That's somebody that is 6'2", 211 pounds playing cornerback. So he's a freak athlete, but he still puts in the work. This is definitely a show I am going to go back and listen to. So much great advice. And in the story about Ed Reed alone lets you know why that man is a Hall of Famer. So tonight was a great show. Hopefully you guys got a lot of advice and good feedback from tonight's show. We are getting ready for our big-time college tour at the end of April. On April 26th and 27th, we are taking 40 high school and junior college football players from Northern California, actually even a couple Southern California kids, to four schools in 2 days. So that is San Jose State, Cal Berkeley, UC Davis, and Nevada, Reno. If you don't know, you better find out. If you are a young high school or junior college football player and you are serious about getting to the next level, whether it is with us or without us, make sure you get on college campuses. Make sure that you build those relationships. It is the proactive athletes. It's not always the best athletes. It is the proactive athletes, you guys, who win and get what they want. So go to our website, www.beforeyougopro.com. The link for that college tour is right there at the top of the homepage. We would love to have you. I think there's only about 13 spots left. So once again, that's April 26th and 27th. And I really appreciate Jimmy. If you didn't hear last week's show, we had Dustin Woods, strength coach from the Los Angeles Rams, on the show. Great advice. You got to tune in and check out that one too. All of the shows are archived for 30 days. So take advantage. Share them with your coach. Share them with your friends. Make it happen. The whole purpose is to help you guys get after it. So once again, I am Coach Terrence Wood signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. You guys have a wonderful evening. Good night.